Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
Joining me now is a close friend of ours, Dr. Shawnee Anderson. Shawnee is a licensed clinical and forensic psychologist. She serves as director of psychology and co-director of ethics and advocacy here at the American Association of Christian Counselors. Shawnee founded her private practice in 1998 in California, where she worked exclusively with adolescents and adults presenting with a number of complex issues. She also spends her time teaching as an adjunct professor at Liberty University's Doctor of Psychology program. She is a clinical expert on trauma, has worked with survivors of mass shootings, which we're going to hear a lot more about today. She has helped many people heal from addictions and eating disorders. I think our conversation is going to greatly bless those listening, especially if you have emotional scars or wounds. Shawnee, what a delight to have you join us here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
I know you moved from California to the East Coast to Virginia, quite a journey, a big step for you guys. But you are now the director of psychology and the co-chair of the Ethics and Advocacy Division here at the AACC. Tell our listeners a little bit more about just kind of your background. Trauma is a big area of expertise for you.
It is. I was very blessed to be able to study under Dr. John Briere, who's one of the top trauma researchers and clinicians in the world. And so I had a dissertation that focused on trauma and began working in trauma. I actually saw my first trauma patient back in 1989. So I've been doing it for quite a long time.
Shawnee, if we look back, the last couple of years have been pretty tough go for everybody. You go back to COVID and you just go on this journey. And if you spend any time up on social media, you're probably half insane yourself because it's just wild. I mean, everything that we're seeing unfold before our eyes, none of it makes sense. But at the end of the day, I know at one of our recent events, one of the themes was around collective trauma, that everybody to some degree has gotten just absolutely hammered. I mean, devastated and challenged, and they're trying to fight their way through all this. But just your thoughts on, as you look at the landscape, maybe some of the clients you've been seeing, what has your attention? You're the trauma expert, but this is what's happening, and this is what I see in the eyes of people all around me every day.
Well, I think trauma, which was originally noted as what we call a big T trauma, which was an event that was completely outside the norm, that was very psychologically, physiologically, completely devastating. The definition has been broadened to include little t trauma, which are those very, very difficult things that we encounter almost on a daily basis, which we know in God's word, we know we're going to have trials and tribulations. And I see those as often those little t traumas. And it's the accumulation of those little t traumas that make them so traumatic. And I think you're absolutely right. Starting back with COVID and just the threat to our lives, I know I'm working with individuals who were, you know, under quarantine with their abusers. And now that all the restrictions have been lifted, we're now, you know, facing the potential of war. We've got school shootings and mass shootings and infiltration at our southern border. And it's just, I think people are running terrified, which absolutely places them at risk for trauma and long-term consequences as a result.
Shawnee, I know you've done a lot of therapy through the years. We've discussed a number of cases. My son, Zach, works with a lot of children in his clinical practice, and we discuss a lot of the issues that people go through, a lot of what he sees, what you see. Shawnee, when you look back and you see what people go through, And these horrific experiences, maybe they were abused or they witnessed mom and dad fighting, or maybe a sister was hurt in a car accident. Someone they knew took their life. Ben Allison, who was my son-in-law, the CEO here at AACC, talked about when he was in junior high school that a couple of his buddies committed suicide. And he said it absolutely devastated him. I mean, it threw him into chaos. Shanae, what does trauma do to the soul? What happens to someone when they witness something horrific, they experience something horrific?
In those moments when something is so shattering, it really causes an individual in that moment to engage in a fight or flight response. And if they can't engage in that, they go to a freeze response. And that's when the trauma basically kind of affects their entire nervous system. And in that moment, there's almost a fracturing of the mind from the body because it's just too much. It's just too much for the mind and the body to carry. And as a result of that, individuals will then either have sometimes amnesia from traumatic events, or they'll notice that they will be inundated with what we call intrusive memories, intrusive experiences, that their body may be still reliving the trauma or their mind may still be reliving the trauma. And it's something that really haunts you with what we almost call speechless terror. And it really can have long-term devastating effects.
It's like your body can also go on like hyper alert. It's
absolutely.
Just like, you know, you're almost shaking. They say that people who experience things like this, they don't remember them. Mm-hmm. They relive them.
Yes.
They go right back into they can smell the smell.
Yes.
They can hear the siren. Yes. They go back in, and there's a real sense of loss of safety.
Mm-hmm.
Horrific nightmares, things like that. You think of Vietnam vets who wake up in the middle of the night screaming and more. Shanae, let's take this deeper now. And there's a personal piece here. You're a professional, but you're a mama.
Yes, I am.
And you're a Gaga. Julie's called a Gigi as
yes.
a grandma.
My grandma came up with Gaga.
I like Gaga. I think it's good. Shanae, I want to go to a moment. Let me say this. There are special relationships between moms and sons.
Mm-hmm.
Your son, Alex, and I want to go to the Borderline Bar and Grill.
Well, it was November 7th, 2018, and my son was actually an undergraduate student studying criminology and criminal justice at California Lutheran University. And Wednesday nights was college night at Borderline. And it was the night where they would allow individuals who are under the age of 21 to come in and engage in, you know, country line dancing. And my son loved country music, and his girlfriend at the time, the two of them went, and they were having a wonderful time until all of a sudden he heard shooting and pop, 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 pop. A shooter, a former Marine, entered the front door and immediately shot a number of individuals and threw smoke grenades into the bar. And immediately people dove. My son and his girlfriend went behind the DJ booth with the DJ and a few of other people. At that point, the shooter went into the main area of the bar and began shooting individuals point blank. And my son was, you know, maybe 15, 20 feet away from him. And by God's grace, an individual took a bar stool and threw it through a window. And individuals were able to jump out and flee. My son was one of those. And he hurt his hand. Badly. He cut it on the window as he was jumping out, blood everywhere. And he was able to run to safety. But what's frightening, we found out later, is one of the victims was actually shot jumping out that same window right after him. So because this happened late at night, I was asleep. And I woke up from a dream where I thought I heard the front door knocking. And so I woke up and it was actually the front door. And prior to going down, I looked at my phone and my phone had been blown up by numerous people who had been reaching out to me. I ran downstairs and my son's godmother was there. And she said, Shawnee, there's been a shooting at Borderline and Alex is okay. He was injured. He is at the hospital. And I talk about the fight, flight, freeze response in that moment. I froze. And I couldn't even think, what do I do? I couldn't remember how to get dressed. That is how in shock I was. And we drove to the hospital, and I was able to see my son and saw, you know, his wound. And it was so tragic because I was astonished that there weren't many people actually at the hospital. I was anticipating there would be a lot of cars and a lot of people. But sadly, the people who were shot were killed instantly. And the moment after, you know, I got there and I saw my son, we actually found out that Sergeant Helis, who was the first responder on the scene, had been pronounced dead. And that night was beyond difficult. Obviously traumatizing for him, but even for me as his mom, of not knowing if he was okay. And ironically, the year before, as a trauma psychologist, I had actually been conducting groups for survivors of the Route 91 Las Vegas mass shooting. And a number of those individuals were also at Borderline that evening. And so it was kind of crazy that the individual who was helping survivors from a mass shooting just a year before was now having her own son there. It was just mind-blowing.
Shawnee, let's go a little bit deeper with this. Your son, back in 2012, had another experience, and you had to lead the way on it, which compounded this whole moment and where we're going to go in our discussion about trauma.
Yes. In 2012, my son's father passed away from liver cancer, and he had been diagnosed 2 years prior, and it was right when my son had started middle school. And so for the 2 years that he was in middle school, his father was fighting valiantly to hold on to his life because his biggest wish was to see his son play high school football. And then he died just about 2 weeks short of my son starting high school. And I remember the morning that he passed away. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I had to wake up my son to tell him that his dad had died, which still is, I think, one of the most difficult moments I've ever had in my life. And I've had my own personal trauma as a child, and this was, when it's your children, it just hits you in such a different way. And so having to tell him that his dad was gone was so difficult. But you had spoken earlier about that special relationship between a mom and a son. He and I became even closer because his dad was gone. And so we do have a very unique and very special relationship because in a lot of ways, you know, I was a single mom to him, and having to walk him through the difficulties of high school and adolescence and college and how that hit him so hard. It really hit him so hard to lose his dad, especially at 14 when he was just becoming a man. And then a few years later, almost losing his own life. And
what began happening, Shawnee, in his heart? What were the patterns? You're the trauma. You are the trauma psychologist, but here you are as a mom, and you're trying to help your boy make it through these deep waters. What were the things that began to surface that became of concern to you, that you knew you had to figure these pieces out with him and for him?
Well, as a psychologist, when his dad got diagnosed with cancer, I put him in to some therapy to help him process what we knew inevitably was going to happen. And so that was good for him because he was really dealing, obviously, with a lot of grief and loss and just anxiety. And I think during that season, it was really an opportunity. It was an interesting time for him. The school he was at was really feeding into his soul about his faith. And I really believe that is about the time that he really gave his heart to the Lord. Dad couldn't make it to his high school graduation, his college graduation, the birth of their child. I mean, just these future losses and having to walk him through each one of those events when he wants his father. And the loss in that and having to just be enough for him to contain and listen to his pain without jumping to fix it or explain it away or throw a Bible verse at it, but to sit with him and allow him to cry, allow him to be sad, to be angry. And it's interesting because grief doesn't work linearly. And so sometimes it'll pop up at times when I don't expect it or he doesn't expect it. It is overwhelming to the psyche. It is a sense of powerlessness and terror that you can't do anything as much as you may try. And so, like, for example, with my son at borderline, I mean, the adrenaline just running through his body, but he had to freeze to survive. While it was so overwhelming, he had a little bit of resilience at that point that when I got him into trauma therapist several days later, he was actually able to do very, very deep and intensive processing, unlike many of the other survivors who I think are so terrified to go there because it's so scary. He was able to be healed within a month.
Shanae, you are a strong woman of faith. You have a love for the Lord. It's genuine. It's real. I often see you doing prayer walks, praying over what God's called you to do and be, praying for the people you love to serve. Mm-hmm. Shanae, in the midst of it, there's a personal story here for you. You didn't have an easy life growing up as a little girl.
No.
And we don't have to go in and unpack that. It's just simply enough to say, hey, listen, you understand. And you've been in those dark places. And God brought light into those dark places. And Shanae, you love the light because you realize the darkness is profound, but it's not about the darkness. Mm-hmm. It's about the light. Talk to us about this journey of freedom and how important God is in the equation and why that's your story.
Well, my story is interesting because I didn't have my born-again experience until I was in my early 30s. And I started therapy when I was 19. I think we can be a victim of trauma and become a survivor, but I think the only way to become an overcomer is really through the power of Christ. And that's what I try to do with my patients. That's what I've tried to do with my son, of looking at, you know, God allows sometimes some really bad things to happen. But I also know he seeks to make good of all of these things and that there is always hope in the person of Jesus.
Shanae, as we fight time here, I want to bring this back to our listeners. Maybe someone listening today has that story and they've never been able to talk their way through or get help for it, or maybe someone they love, and they see the broken pieces scattered everywhere. They see the patterns, maybe even addictions and other things that have taken over, and it's consuming this life. You know that? Shanae, what do you say to them, and where can they turn? What can they do?
Well, there is hope. There is always hope. And again, the hope is in the name of Jesus Christ. There are Christian counselors all over the country. There are Christian counselors that specialize in trauma like I do, that incorporate evidence-based practices with Christian practices. And that's my recommendation if you know somebody that is struggling with any form of trauma, any parents that are struggling when their children are going through difficulties. There is help out there to find a Christian counselor. But if also remember, the most wonderful counselor is Jesus, and that we, particularly as parents, need to be praying for our kids every day. And I know for me, every day, I feel like I have to release my son to the Lord, because my mama's heart wants to fly down to Texas and bring him home. My mama's heart did not want to let him go to, you know, to a country and western bar for fear of what could happen. And, you know, as parents, we just want to protect our babies, but that in the long run is not what is best for them. And I think, you know, we're now seeing, I think in some ways, a little bit of the consequences of helicopter parenting is kids do not feel like they're equipped to face the world. They are lacking in resilience. And the only way to get resilience is you have to do hard things. And we as parents need to release our kids to face struggles and to face trials, because that is how they grow. And that's how they grow to be strong. And that's where, I mean, I think back when my son first started football, I think he must have been maybe 9 years old. And the first practice, he was crying. The helmet hurt his head so much, and he didn't like people hitting him. And he literally was like the youngest on the team, and he's crying. His father is like, oh, my gosh, we've got to get him out of here. And he's pacing the sidelines, like losing his mind. And I was literally just praying and just saying, you know what? This is good for him in the long run. It's difficult now, but it is going to teach him to be stronger in the long run. Those experiences in football, those experiences that he had, you know, in kindergarten or in elementary school, really have built him into the man that he is today, because he's faced difficulty and he's been able to get back up and continue to proceed forward. I guess speaking to the audience, being a parent is the hardest thing on the planet. And I think anytime our children hurt, it is just so difficult for us.
Galatians 5:1 says that it's for freedom that Christ has come to set us free. That's the message here at Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Shawnee, I think there's a book out there. That book, The Body Keeps Score by Vander Kolk, I think is the last name. That's a powerful book. Because trauma has profound impact on our bodies.
Yes.
What a delightful conversation, Dr. Shawnee Anderson, having you here. I can't wait. We're going to have you back again sometime soon. But thank you on behalf of my son, Zach, our co-host, and our entire team. We pray God's blessings over you. Thanks
thank
again
you.
For being here.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.